The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, we're waking up to news this morning that the Israeli couple who were imprisoned in Turkey on charges of spying are home. They flew home in the early hours of the morning. They have been released, obviously, from the Turkish prison. And I think that that probably puts an end to that particular story. Natalie and Mordi Okunin, bus drivers with Eged Bus Company, were arrested in Istanbul. A little bit more of the story has started to come out. Apparently, they took these photographs, which included the area of the presidential palace from this tower, which apparently is the tallest tower in Europe.
Wow.
And it's called the Kamlika Tower. It's reported to be the tallest tower in Europe, opened earlier this year. It is then reported, apparently, that a waitress overheard them talking about it after the event, reported this to police, who then arrested them. And apparently there was a Turkish person, a friend of theirs, who was also involved, who was also arrested. But it seems as if though there's been a lot of work being done behind the scenes to arrange their release, including work by Foreign Minister Yair Lapid and, of course, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. And also President Buzi Herzog apparently was very involved, appealing to Turkish President Erdogan and members of his government to release them. And yesterday when we spoke, there were some indications that this might become a long drawn out affair after the statements made by the Turkish Interior Minister, who accused the couple of military and political espionage. And this kind of seemed to up the ante a little bit, caused people to think that it might go on forever. But this morning they're home, and I suppose that draws a line under this particular issue.
Yeah,
and it does show that Israeli and Turkish governments can cooperate on things and achieve things where necessary, instead of having the diplomatic standoff that we experienced for such a long time. I think that this is a very good sign. Ironically, with the events that took place, you wouldn't think that this would be a good sign of relations between the government, but I think it really is, because once the arrest had been made and that damage had been done, the work that then went on in cooperation between the two governments to resolve it, I think, is positive.
Absolutely. Leslie says it sounds like a lovely tower. Do we have any pictures? All right. What a very, very strange story.
It is a strange story. And, again, it's very, very difficult for me to believe that the strength of a report by a waitress
that she
overheard these people talking about their trip to the tower and the photographs. There were some accusations that they had actually published their photographs on social media. There is no confirmation of that, no evidence of it whatsoever. Apparently wrote down technical information about the tower. I'm not exactly sure what relevance that is. But anyway, the whole story seems to be over. They're home. Of course, the members of government coming out and making statements, particularly President Herzog and, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu, Naftali Bennett. I'm also still making some mistakes, Howard. Prime Minister Naftali
Bennett. It's been a long time. It's fine.
Yeah, Foreign Minister Lapid as well, all making statements welcoming the couple home. I think that is probably the end of that story, but maybe not the end of the cooperation between the two governments.
Right. And two Israeli border police officers were injured in a stabbing attack in Jerusalem's Old City yesterday. What happened?
Yeah, so the story says that they were lightly wounded, two border police officers who were on patrol in Jerusalem's Old City, apparently walked past a young man. He then was reported to have turned around once they'd walked past him and attacked them from behind. He apparently began to attack the male member of the team, the two border policemen. There was one male and one female member of the team doing patrols in the Old City. He apparently attacked the male member of the team stabbing him in the head. The female member of the team managed to grab hold of him and apparently pin him up against a wall in one of those alleys in the old city. She is reported also to have been stabbed in the head while trying to hold him down, at which time a civilian person in the area apparently shot at this individual, the attacker. He was killed at that particular location. He is a 16-year-old. And it's just astonishing that we have this generation who are being raised up to hate people in such a way that they can literally walk through the streets of the city of Jerusalem as a free person, going where they wish, doing pretty much as they wish, and then decide to turn on two police officers and in so doing lose his life in the process. That just seems to me to be something broken about the system, and very, very concerning indeed. We're obviously proud of our two border police officers, a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old, two very, very young people as well, patrolling the safety of the city of Jerusalem. Both have been injured. They were both admitted to different hospitals in the city of Jerusalem. They're reported to be conscious and stable and seem to be doing pretty well. But at the same time, it's just such a negative statement about the young generation, a 16-year-old who feels that they have the need to carry out an attack like that. It's very, very sad indeed. And, you know, for those people who've walked around the alleyways in the old city of Jerusalem will understand how easy it is for an attack like this to take place. You go walking around, I mean, you know, I was in Jerusalem a month or two ago and walked around the alleyways in the old city, and we saw border policemen patrolling, all of them with equipment and ready for action, whatever, but they're just patrolling the streets. In other words, they don't have their weapons drawn, and they're not kind of concerned at every moment in time that they're about to be attacked. They're simply just in a relaxed manner patrolling the streets. And you could imagine that something like this would happen, where somebody could just come from behind and attack them. Fortunately, they are well trained and they do work in teams and they do know how to handle situations like this. But unfortunately, it doesn't prevent them from being injured, and it doesn't prevent people from being killed in the process. And that's the sad part.
Absolutely. And Israeli Supreme Court yesterday intervened again in the case of the boy orphaned in the Italian cable car accident. This is one of those stories that just never seems to settle.
And it's not settling. I mean, this has already been through two lower courts in Israel, where, just to remind people, this is a young boy. His parents, his younger brother, and his great-grandparents were killed in a cable car accident in Italy. His father's family are in Italy, and they were given custody of him so that he would remain with them in Italy. And that seemed to be the end of that, until his members of his mother's family decided that Israel would be better for him and that they would take matters into their own hands. And they literally went to Italy and they picked him up, unbeknown to the family in whose custody he was. They picked him up, put him on a plane, and brought him to Israel. The Italian courts have ruled that the father's family in Italy are the legal guardians, the legal custodians of this boy, and his name is Eitan Biran. The courts in Israel, the two lower courts which have already ruled on this matter, the Tel Aviv District Court and the Tel Aviv Magistrates Court, have both ruled that they support this decision by the Italian court, and that Eitan would be better off with his father's family in Italy, as has been determined. However, the members of his mother's family, the Peleg family, are not simply taking these decisions lying down. And yesterday, even though the lower courts have decided that Eitan should return to Italy by next week, that was what the Israeli courts decided, the Tel Aviv District Court. Then the Peleg family, Shmuel Peleg, the grandfather, went to appeal to the Supreme Court to give him a right to appeal against the decision of the lower courts, because having been through two courts already and lost both of those cases, he lost his right to appeal any further. But now he's actually made application to appeal, and the Supreme Court yesterday decided to give him special permission. to appeal against the lower court rulings, and therefore has blocked his return to Eitan's return to Italy pending the hearing of this appeal. Now, I'm not exactly sure on what basis the Supreme Court decided that there might be a reasonable chance of this decision being overturned by a higher court, but for what it's worth, that's what they've decided. And so this is all further delayed now, because there will be another round of court hearings. And in all honesty, I think people just feel that we need to allow this young boy to get on with his life.
Yeah, that's what I just kept thinking, is that there's a kid here. There's a kid involved in all of this. As people are pushing and pulling and going to court, what happens to the child in the meantime?
Yeah, I mean, he's lived most of his life in Italy. That's what he knows. And even though both of his parents were Israeli, they'd lived with him in Italy for most of his life. That was the environment that he knew. And there are members of his family who lived in that similar environment. And so it was determined that it would be the most logical and least disruptive event for him to remain in that particular environment, to be with that family that he knew, who he was close to in Italy, all in the interests of this child. Now, I mean, I do understand when people say he is really Israeli and he should be in Israel and Israel is the best place for him. And that's, you know, a valid discussion. But at the age of six, it seems to me that continuing what he was accustomed to and doing before is the best path of action for him until he grows up, until he can make his own decisions. I'm sure that his Israeli roots will never, ever be forgotten. He will always have some sort of a connection to Israel. And in the fullness of time, he will be old enough to decide where he would like to live.
It's just, you know, I keep thinking of the tragedy of what this poor kid has endured. And surely the best way forward is just to let him settle into a life and rebuild his life, even though he's lost everything in terms of his own family. But surely,
Absolutely. Surely
he can't get on with his life where he doesn't know which country he's going to be living in.
And being shuttled backwards and forwards, being taken from here to there. In fact, his grandfather, Shmuel Peleg, has become something of a criminal as a result of this, because he's being accused of all kinds of criminal acts, of kidnapping. Apparently there is even an international court order out for him because of the fact that he actually took Eitan without permission from Italy, and that's international kidnap. And apparently that's creating, I mean, you know, this family is really being torn apart, not only by the tragedy that they had to suffer with members of their family being killed in that accident, but now with this just, you know, people going at each other in order to try to somehow assert their own will in this, for the sake of this child, where, you know, again, I would just wonder to what extent his interests are being thought about here.
Anthony, before I let you go, we've got 2 minutes. Can you give us a bit of an update? I saw an article saying the U.S. said to raise proposed interim deal with Iran in talks with Israel. What is happening here?
Well, we know that we've had visits to Israel by members of the U.S. administration, particularly the special advisor to Iran, whose responsibility it is to conduct discussions, negotiations, interactions with Iran on the issue of the U.S. potentially returning to the nuclear deal. And we know that the Joe Biden administration seems to be very intent upon the U.S. returning to this deal. Now, the U.S. has raised this a number of times with Israel, and not least of which has raised it during the course of this week, during the visit by that special representative. We are not sure exactly what discussions went down. We know that the Israeli government is very much opposed to the idea of the U.S. Returning to the deal. They feel that that would be a reward for really bad behavior, because as part of the deal, sanctions are lifted, and that's the real issue, right? That once the U.S. goes back into the deal, they would have to abide by whatever the conditions of that deal were. And one of the conditions, the main conditions, is that the U.S. will lift sanctions on Iran. So that's not something that Israel would like to see. We know that this has been raised. We know that Israel has objected to it. But it's not a foregone conclusion that the U.S. will return to the deal, because as things stand at the moment, there doesn't really seem to be a branch that the U.S. can climb down from that tree in order to elegantly return back to the deal without making themselves look really, really idiotic. Because simply going back into the deal without getting any seeming benefit to the U.S. would, you know, be a completely incorrect thing to do.
Absolutely.
And it's not clear at the moment what benefit the U.S. might derive from returning to the deal. So lots and lots of political negotiations behind the scene. We know that the U.S. has raised this issue. Mm-hmm. Israel is opposed to it. We don't know where this is going to go yet.
Anthony Reich, it is 8 o'clock. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we will catch you on Monday morning.